Father, just prepare our hearts this morning as we hear the word from Dave this morning. Let it pierce our hearts, Lord. Let it go deep within us this morning. We just praise you, Lord, and we thank you just for who you are. Amen. You may be seated.
There's part of one back there. Good morning. Christmas time. It's awesome. We get excited. Just that stirring inside of us. The kids are all excited. They see the tree go up. Oh, my house. Gianna called our very first family meeting. We need to have a family meeting, she said. Okay. Go ahead and get your sister. We'll talk. Well, here it was about getting a live Christmas tree this year instead of using the fake one we've had forever. Well, forever for her. So, we had a live Christmas tree once back shortly after we were married. And it was beautiful, smelled really nice. First week or so, you know. And then we noticed that there were little extra gifts in the tree that we didn't really realize when we picked it out and cut it down. They'd crawl around, and the spider's nest that was inside there kind of came to life because it warmed up in the house. And if you know my wife at all, she's not real fond of spiders. So she kind of swore, we're never going to have a real tree again. And as far as the kids knew, we never had one. But the family meeting, there was a vote, and 3-1 to get a real live Christmas tree this year. So our house smells like pine right now. So it's really nice. It looks really beautiful. They decorated yesterday when I was away. But another thing we get excited about this time of year, especially the kids, they're all excited about the gifts, right? Because they're getting presents. Everything's cool. The greatest dream is wrapped up in a gift. Their biggest hopes, the thing they write down on their list, the thing they're telling everybody about, is in the gift. We're adults. We know not every gift is a great one. Right? Okay, who here has had a gift that's not been so wonderful? But you gotta smile and say thank you, be polite. But you know when you get that gift from the certain person, you pretty much know what's inside without even opening it. And you know you're probably never going to see it again after that day. Has anybody ever gotten a gift that looked like this? Angie wouldn't let me wear it this morning. So, no, that's not mine, thank goodness. But could you imagine that? Real tree branches and bulbs and everything sticking off of it? Well, you'd be the talk of the night at the party, that's for sure. So the first point on your outline is the gift. It's not what you expected. Because sometimes that's what happens. You get a gift, and it's definitely not what you expected. See, God gave us a gift too. In his son. One of the most quoted verses of the Bible. You see it at every football game. Guys holding up signs. What is it? John 3:16. You can turn there if you want and put a little finger or tabby or something in there. We're going to be there later on today. But I'll just tell you what it says. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he gave his son to us. He gave him to us. I know sometimes we think we'd want to give our kids away, but most times you'd want them back after a little bit. We're going to turn to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 right now. And I'll give you a minute to get there. See, Isaiah is in the Old Testament before God actually gave us his gift of his son. And what this is speaking of is of what's to come. It's prophesying, telling us what God told him would happen. Isaiah 9, starting in 6, going through 7, says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." See, that sounds really cool if you're hearing it before Christ came. That sounds really cool. Because you're thinking, holy cow, he's going to bring somebody. It's going to be this awesome king. Because if he's in the line of David, he's going to reign on David's throne. He was the greatest king to that point. He's going to reign on David's throne, and this guy's going to be a butt kicker. Okay? He's going to beat up our enemies, get us out of this bondage that we're in. We don't have to be slaves anymore. This guy, he's going to be a serious, I don't know if I can say butt kicker in church, but I'm going to. He's going to be a serious butt kicker. That's what David was. See, they were looking for a powerful king. But sometimes a gift is not what you expected. Instead, we got a vulnerable baby who would grow up to face every single trial you and I would face. How's that even possible? I got enough trouble dealing with the stuff of my own, let alone your stuff and your stuff. Your stuff and yours. How's that even possible? You know, like I said, I can't even handle my own stuff most of the time. But he would. Did he get picked on? Did he get beaten up? Did he have close friends turn their back on him? Did he lose close relatives? Yes. 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 And yes. See, God gave us a gift, but it definitely wasn't what we were expecting. Point number 2. It doesn't work the way you think it should. Sometimes that gift that we get from Uncle Joe, Cousin Timmy, you know, it's definitely not going to be what you expect, but it's probably going to be way, way worse. Doesn't work the way you think it should. You guys ever watch infomercials? You know, they're throwing them in on like Saturday mornings and stuff now. To rope your kids in. My kids, well, definitely the little one. She can recite commercials back like it's nobody's business. I'm like, man, we are brainwashing our kid, letting her watch TV. Well, there's one of a commercial out there. I should have had you pull it up on YouTube and you could watch it. It's all right. Anybody know what this is? It's called a gyro bowl. Okay? When you watch this infomercial, or commercial, I guess it is. It's just an extended commercial. It's not your 30-second deal. It's a couple minutes long. What it is, I'll try and hold it up without it tipping. Okay, it's just a bowl, but it's on a tri-axis. Okay? So the idea is, and the way they show you in the commercial is, oh, you can put your Cheerios in here. And, you know, the dry ones. You can put your Cheerios in here, and then you can carry it around. Okay? And they're not going to tip. Oh, and you can turn it upside down and they don't fall out. This is the greatest invention ever. You guys got to have one. Look at this. It is so cool. Ooh, nothing's tipping out. Wow, I could even do it over my head. Okay? It's awesome. You need one of these. This would be the best gift you could get in your stocking. You guys are laughing. You don't believe it? You're obviously not six. You've gotten a couple gifts like this, haven't you? Because when they carry it and run it through the house, look, Mom, it's not spilling. No, that whole trail behind you didn't spill at all, did it? Try putting liquid in here with those Cheerios. It's beautiful. I have to admit, I hid this in the very top shelf of the cabinet that neither my wife or I can see because it's way up there. Because I was tired of picking up after this thing. She's not in here. Because I can never remember who buys her the gifts, okay? But anyway, I remember taking my wallet out when we saw this in the store and getting it. I definitely regret it. But it definitely brought her great joy for a while. Another problem with this is when you go to wash it and you put it in the dishwasher, the thing closes up. It doesn't even want to stay open to get clean. And it's open any other time, but it's not open when you try and clean it. So, it's not what you expected. And definitely doesn't work the way you think it should. I got one other gift here I'm going to show you too. This is called a open it. On the package it says, as you have seen on TV. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Appreciate that. It'll probably go in my drawer. It's got a little scissor thing up top here. Supposed to be a bottle opener on the back here. Got a couple other levers on it. No, there's a screwdriver. If you pull this out, there's a little mini screwdriver in here. If you're strong enough, you can pull this out, flip it around, and it's a straight screwdriver instead of a Phillips. And under here, if you push this little button down at the same time you're pushing it forward and have the cap off that didn't go flying across the room, you got a little knife that pops out. Awesome gift. I don't know how much use it was going to get. Anyway, back to the message. Sometimes it doesn't work the way you think it should. We're going to turn to John 3 now, if you have your finger there or whatever. Just flip back there. We're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing to you. John 3. See, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Now, there was a Pharisee A man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus looks at him. I mean, you know, he's like, what? Born again. Verse 4 says, Nicodemus is talking, "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you don't understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen. But still, you do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Here's verse 16 again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's important. You can underline that in the Bible that you're using. I don't care if it's a church Bible or not. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it or put it to shame, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, the one and only Son. See, this is the verdict. Light of the world has come, light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead. They love it instead of the light because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. When you got a secret, you don't want it coming out. See, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. For the one whom God has sent speaks words of God, for God gives spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. See, I'll get to that in a minute. Point number 3. It doesn't last as long as you think it would. That gift you get, the gyro bowl, that lasted longer. Most of the time you get a gift and kids get their stuff. I mean, come on, a good 10 to 20% of it's broken before the day's out, correct? But they had to have it. Just open it. when I got it, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Really? A little pair of snips or whatever they are? Thank you. Okay? I thought this would get thrown in the drawer and never be seen again. Don't take offense to this. But honestly, I think I've used this gift more than I've used any other gift I've ever gotten. Okay? This really is pretty cool. And I'm not going to do an infomercial on it, but the little snippy things, perfect for cutting the wire ties that are on those little gifts that strap them into the packaging you can't ever get out. The little knife thing that I didn't think would even work. You got to make sure it's shut so you don't cut your fingers off. But you pop that open, cuts that cellophane right off. String, whatever. It's awesome. And even the little teeny tiny little screwdriver that's in here. When you got a bunch of them baby dolls, you got to try and unhook everything and get the batteries in. And then the next day, you got to put new batteries in. And the next day, you got to put new batteries in again. Okay? This thing is really pretty handy. Okay? So, I'll eat a little bit of crow and say, I thought this was a real goat, for those of you that remember, Let's Make a Deal. Okay? I thought this was probably the lamest gift I've ever gotten. But in all actuality, I use it more than anything. So, sometimes things aren't exactly what you thought. It doesn't last as long as you think it would. See, the whole reason Jesus came, that he was given to us as a gift, we don't think about this much at Christmas time, but the whole reason he came was to die. It's not what you want to think about when you're just having a baby in the hospital or in a stable. But that's why he came. That was his sole purpose, was to come to die. And the reason he had to die is to be raised again. Because see, a lot of people think because Christ died for us, that took away our sins. Because that's true. Okay? When he died on the cross, he gave up his spirit. Thinking about each and every one of you, even though you weren't born yet. And that's why he cried out, Father, forgive them. But that wouldn't have done it. If that's where the story ended, it wouldn't have been enough. He came back to life. He was raised again. And see, at that moment, when he came back, that is when he conquered death for you and for me. He took all of our sins on him, and he died. But when he kicked the devil in the teeth and got back up again, that's when he beat the grave. That's why what it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his son, and whoever believes in him will not die or perish. After, I'm reminded right now, that word perish. It's special to me. Because About 11 years ago, I remember kneeling beside my daughter's bed. praying with her, going through some scripture. And I was trying to help her memorize scripture. Now, if you do the math, she was 2 years old. Okay? And we were going over John 3:16 that night. And she asked me, like I'd say a part, and then she'd say a part. Okay? And then she stopped and asked me, "Daddy, what does perish mean? Because it's a fancy word for death. It's one that a two-year-old's certainly not going to understand." And it hit me. And I had a moment where I thought, wow, should I really tell her? She's two. And I remember feeling in my spirit, feeling inside, that the Holy Spirit said, "She's ready. She's ready." So I told her. I told her it means to die. And I said, "What do you think?" I don't remember exactly what I said at that point, but I did tell her what it meant. And I said, "Do you understand?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you want that eternal life? Do you want that life that you'll live forever?" She said, "Yeah." So in her two-year-old understanding, I had already explained to her through this passage what it meant. And she asked Jesus to come into her heart that day. As a two-year-old, I'm glad she's not sitting in here. I don't know exactly how things work. But I know that day, she understood what the consequences were and what the rewards were. And she chose life. Because she did understand about death. And she has a very large family. And right around that time, one of her family members went to be with the Lord. And I know that because Angie and I had the privilege of talking to him about 2 weeks before he passed. And we shared with him what Jesus really means. What he really came to do. Because see, I'm going to go off on a couple stories here, guys. Sorry. In this country, people have heard of Jesus. Okay, you see signs, especially at Christmas time. You hear things on the radio, whatever. You heard the name of Jesus. But that's not true everywhere. I couldn't believe it. I went to Scotland on a missions trip once. I'm going through this neighborhood, and the kid says, "Hey, why are you guys here?" I said, "I'll tell people about Jesus." And he said, "Who's that?" Never even heard the name. Never even heard the name. I don't know if that's possible here in the U.S. It might be. Anyway, we shared with him. Yes, he'd heard of Jesus. He knew Jesus is God's son. Okay? Did his time in church, actually most of his life. But his life wasn't really evidence of the fact that he knew Jesus. But as he was laying in bed, the last time I would see him alive, I shared with him, talked to him. And with the little bit of strength he had left, he called out Jesus' name. And we went through some scripture together. And he understood. It doesn't last as long as you think it would. In Luke 19:28 through 36, I'll give you a second to turn there. Luke 19. See, the story is where Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king at the end of his life. Excuse me, guys, I gotta grab a tissue. This is at the end of Jesus' life. Most accounts have Jesus living around 33 years. And he only really did documented ministry the last 3 years of his life. So, Luke 19, verse 28 through 36 says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going into Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples to them, saying, go to a village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there. No one's ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? Makes sense. They replied, the Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, just as they would do for a king. See, I got this last week as I was studying at my friend's house. He rode on the colt of a donkey that had never been ridden before, to go on a journey that no one's ever gone on before, to pave the way for you and me. Because that story happens 5 days before he was killed. They're treating him like a king 5 days before they turn and kill him. Now, if you remember last week when Don spoke, he spoke about Mary and Joseph's journey into Bethlehem. Before Jesus was born, he was in utero, just about ready to come out. Ladies, it's very uncomfortable, I imagine. Right? Right? A couple hours before you're going to have the baby, maybe even a day or two, you feel like, holy cow, how can I keep this thing in? He rode a donkey in his mother's womb, just before he was born, And he wrote it again just before he died. I don't know the significance of that. I just thought I needed to point it out to you. Kind of, God tends to wrap things up pretty good, I guess. Unfortunately, I'm not as good at wrapping things up as God is. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and get us ready as I just review a little bit here. See, it's not what you expected, the gift. The gift. Not what you expected. See? Thinking back to before I was a follower of Christ, I knew about Him. I definitely knew about Jesus. And I'd been to church before, been to a couple different vacation Bible schools. And I knew that God had a son. And I knew the stories. Just didn't connect with them. I thought, well, that's nice. It was like God handed me a gift. I said, thank you. And that's where it ended. I didn't open it. Thought I knew what was inside. Because I heard, but I didn't open it. Jesus is not a lousy gift. It's definitely more than you expect. It doesn't work the way you think it should. See, we can't cancel out all the wrong stuff that we've done. When I do something, I shouldn't, okay? Mistreat someone that I care for. Go apologize to them. I try and do something nice to make up for it. It's not how it works in this Christian life, if you want to call it that. See, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. In this season of believing, there's something you can believe in. Grace is unmerited favor. It's getting something you definitely don't deserve. Way better. Like my wife. Only it's way better than that. Sorry. The rest of that verse says, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by anything you do. They said by works. It's not by anything you do so that nobody can boast about it. Nobody gets the credit except the person who deserves it. It's the only way. Can't do enough good stuff to make up for the goofy stuff you've done. Sometimes just plain bad. Believing in Him doesn't work the way you think it should. It's so much easier. Third point was, doesn't last as long as you thought it would. See, everyone always thinks you have more time than you do. I'm the biggest offender of that. I'm a big procrastinator. I always think, oh, I got more time. I got plenty of time. But We never know. You never know. Stuff happens. Fortunately, Angie and I knew what the end was looking like for her relative. But it doesn't always happen that way. Everyone always thinks you have more time than you do. You do have more time. You have right now. You're not promised tomorrow. It doesn't last as long as you think it should. It doesn't last as long as you thought. Time here is so much shorter. The other side of that, eternity lasts so much longer. What will you do today to change somebody's life? What will you do to change it today? It'd be pretty lousy of us to receive a Christmas gift but refuse to open it. Or to open it, accept Christ, and not do anything with it. Or even refuse to use it, that gift you have. God's given you a gift. Are you going to open it and accept Him into your life? And if you're going to use the gift, are you going to use the gift in the way He intended it? See, a gift is not like a fortune cookie that you open, read it, and cast it aside. See, a gift is something that should be shared with others. You see how excited I got about this goofy little tool? I told you guys all about it. Same thing with God's gift. I get excited about that. I'd love to talk to you about it. Don't put it off. Tell others what He's done for you. If you don't come to the altar today for yourself, you should be coming to pray for somebody else. Somebody else who needs to hear. What will you do to change someone today?
His grace flows down.